welcome to another video. If I look a little bit bedraggled, it's because the elements here, the heat, humidity, etc., is really taking its toll on this old body. there we go, coughing already. Allergies are taking over the body as a result of the poor air quality. And with the heat and humidity adding up to 105 to 110 degrees Fahrenheit for the feel temperature on a daily basis, it's provoking the need for a lot of air conditioning. The problem is the air conditioning, too much of it is not that healthy. The air, of course, it becomes quite dirty, and that has an impact certainly on one's breathing and also eyes, etc. So bit of an ordeal here, but I'm going to continue to kick out these videos because it makes me feel good, and hopefully some of you get something from them as well. Please tell your friends about my channel. I've suffered through lack of views lately. But today, anyway, I'm going to do a video on a band that a large quantity of people absolutely adore. I've tried to steer clear of these, really, within the last year. Basically, the story has been told over and over again, and I suspect my two Pennyworth isn't going to add much to it. But this one I started doing over a year ago, and I'm now going to actually get around to completing it. And the album in question is the 1974 release, Queen 2, the second offering by them. And I'm going to try and shift the focus a little bit away from the music to the lyrics. And there's going to be an introduction to start with for those of you that don't know the history. So let's get on with it. To the main part of this review, they began to record the second album, Queen 2, in August 73, and May was able to create a multi-layered guitar introduction. The song was Procession, and Mercury wrote this, The Fairy Fella's Master Stroke, based on a painting, and you'll see a picture of that a little further into the review, a painting by one Richard Dadd. The group spent the remainder of the year touring the UK, supporting Mott the Hoople, and they began to attract quite a following. And the tour ended with two shows at the Hammersmith Odeon, where they played to 7,000 people. So when it was released in March 74, Queen 2, the cover featured an iconic Dietrich-inspired image of the band, and this image would later be used again as the basis for the single Bohemian Rhapsody and the music video production for that song. So it was pretty significant, really. The album featured number five in the British album charts, and it became the first Queen album to chart in the UK, and Seven Seas of Rye reached number 10 in the UK singles charts, giving their band the first hit. Well, the album, of course, features a lot of layered sounds and featured long, complex instrumental passages, fantasy-themed lyrics, and instrumental virtuosity. And it was based on a loose concept of the white side and the black side. Now I'm going to go through the album, track by track, brief sort of snippets about the tracks, but I will be referring to the lyrics of one track. More about that when we get to it. Anyway, this offering offered alternate heavy rock songs from May with softer classically inspired stuff, courtesy of Mercury's taste. There are lots of overdubs here, and an operatic feel slipped into the mix. And it opened up with Procession, which sounded a bit like a funeral march, with May's multi-track guitars dominating it. And then onto track two, Father and Son, which is stunningly heavy, almost Sabbath-like, and certainly appropriate for stadium rock. The big difference between these guys and Black Sabbath, where the sound was a little simmer, is these guys could sing, unlike Ozzy Osbourne. And of course, the operatic tit bits. Lyrically, this song is fatherly advice and sacrifice to Freddie to keep the message to you on your side, particularly venturing into a new country, the UK, from Zanzibar. And it's very much like a new adventure and something that you need to fathom quickly about what life is. Well, that's my take on it anyway. White Queen, as it began, it starts with an acoustic guitar and a sound, I think it sounded like a sitar, but absolutely no synthesizers, of course. Brian insisted on that being spelt out on the cover. And as Freddie builds up the vocals, we get these tasty harmonies and very much a preview of what's to come later on a night at the opera. Creates a great atmosphere, this song, especially Brian's squealing solos. Lyrically, I think it's placing a beautiful woman on a pedestal of greatness, probably reflecting her beauty, her magnificence. And actually, May related a personal story about a girl in his class that he adored, which he based this song on. He didn't speak to her, however. She was far beyond his tentacles, so to speak. Then we've got Someday, One Day. Beautiful vocals here by May, who takes over the lead vocal. Nice acoustic melody, and May again squeezing out that lead solo over the top of a hard-driven beat. It sounds as fresh as it ever did, and I noted at the end the Hendrix-style guitar multi-layered sound. Absolutely awesome. Lyrically, I think it's about the early beginnings of a relationship that will change, or it could be a metaphor for the start of the band and how that will develop. Interested to hear your comments on that. In the End is next. It's a standard hard rock riff with May opening his shoulders. Taylor on lead vocals here. He also wrote it. Lyrically, it's a parental message that all youngsters leave the nest and many seek out fun when they do so. So then we flip it over and we get into the Ogre battle. I first became familiar with Ogre in The Lord of the Rings, having forgot all about this track, but I did a little bit of research. It's amazing, this, though. It's played backwards at first, and then it flips itself around halfway through. Well, not halfway, but after a minute, with the opening instrumentals. And rock, the best of Freddie's rocky style is on this. The word ogre, two meanings. A giant or a monster in legends and fairy tales that eats humans, or a person who's felt to be particularly cruel, brutish, or hideous. And back to the music, squirreling tape loops explodes into a ferocious metal-like rhythm. The vocals join in before the heavy dose of May's sprightly guitar work. This is definitely solid rock, sang by a rock star. What more do you want? 7. The Fairy Fellas Master Stroke. This features the producer Roy Thomas Baker on castanets and Mercury playing a harpsichord. And Roger Taylor referred this song to be their biggest stereo experiment to date. It focuses very much on Freddie's vocals, both lead and harmony. Definite classical operatic feel to it. And the guitar hints at music hall vaudeville. It's got an impressive bridge to Nevermore on track 8 when the piano takes over. The harmonies are ecstatic, truly brilliant, and lyrically, some ritual held by the members of a secret order is what I've got written down here, and that's reflected in this painting that was written by Richard Dadd, a promising painter in the 1840s, who unfortunately went insane. He made the painting in the asylum, and so we try to get some sort of idea of what's going on in Freddie's head. This was what he was fascinated by, and it's an exhaustingly complex image with a substantial cast of characters, and I'll put it up so you can have a look for yourself. None of them are doing anything particular, but the characters are mentioned in the lyrics, Freddie's lyrics, and the fairy fellow, well, he was into work intended for critical interpretation. And that's probably was not, then we might talk of the suspended action which the seed was to be spilled. Ah, yeah, I got it now. It's suggests a hint at the deferred moment of sex, the isolation of the groups of figures, suggesting the impossibility of generating a family, the odds, that is, of the sperm finding its way to the egg. Interesting idea, but have a look at this anyway. And I'm going to, as I said, Dad was a long stay patient in a high security asylum, but the concept of the metaphor, the conception sperm to egg, is an interesting one. But anyway, you can make your own story up, and I'm going to read the lyrics so you can listen to me pontificating about it. Then he's a fairy fella. Aha, the fairy folk have gathered round the new moon shine to see the fella crack a nut at night's noon time. To swing his axe, he swears, as he climbs, he dares to deliver the master stroke. Ploughman, wagoner's will and types, politician with senatorial pipe, he's a dilly-dally-o. Pedagogue, squinting, wears a frown, and a satire peers under lady's gown. Duty fellow, what a dirty laddie-o. Tatterdemalion and the junketer, there's a thief and a dragonfly trumpeter. He's my hero. Fairy, dandy, tickling the fancy of his lady friend, the nymph in yellow. Can we see the master stroke? What a queer fella. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. Soldier, sailor, tinker, tailor, ploughboy waiting to hear the sound. And the arch magician presides. He is the leader. Oberon and Titania, watched by a Haridan. Mab is the queen, and there's a good apothecary man come to say hello. Fairy dandy, tickling the fancy of his lady friend. The nymph in yellow, what a queer fellow. The ostler stares, with hands on his knees. Come on, Mr. Fella, click it open if you please. Wow, you could take all the time in the world trying to interpret that, and I really would like your comments on that. One of the great things about this band were Mercury's ability to write songs. Nevermore then, a segue piano from the previous contribution. He shows us what range on those vocal chords he's got within. It's about the aftermath of separation after a failed romance, I think. Then we get to probably the most powerful piece of music on the album, The March of the Black Queen, and it is a personal favourite. The operatic harmonies integrate with the 90-mile-an-hour guitar. Freddie's vocals resonate with May's solo like liquid gold, and the Deacon Taylor combo keep the rhythm charged up. It's 6 minutes of manical music. The medieval jester entertains us with a heavy driven rhythm. It also previews the finale and May's slow solo starts like a gunshot. A beautiful suite of ideas and experimentations, and surely the foundation of what would become A Night at the Opera. A brief comment on lyrics. Found very little on here to understand, and it's dumbfounded most of the internet. Although clearly good versus evil is in play, and how we flip between them in our own personalities throughout life, depending on who we are with. Or maybe it's influenced by the characters, the fantasy creatures that we come upon, reflecting the playful nature of the author's mind, Freddie's mind, that is. Track 10, Funny How Love Is. This is very much a sing-along, a bit of a chant. Freddie on piano. It's pure nourishment, I find, after the previous, with simplicity high on the agenda. A simple message in the lyric to open your eyes and see love all around you. And then we came to the last track, and what a blockbuster it is, Seven Seas Arrive. It was a minor hit single. It's very stylish though, features a distinctive arpeggiated piano introduction. Lyrically, Rye became a fictional world that Freddie conjured up as a child doing his exotic childhood along with his sister. A privileged ruling class is referred to, whom Freddie has beef with. In fact, Freddie's manifestation in Rye appears to be that of an all-powerful entity, and his primary goal is apparently to use this privilege to turn this realm upside down on its head. Freddie is having fun on his destructive yet lyrically colourful tour through Rye and invites the listener to join him on the journey. He also gives a shout out to his sister who assisted him in developing the imaging which ultimately became the Seven Seas of Rye. And for your information, it was a hit. Right, now I'm going to summarise. I hadn't listened to this album for probably a year or so. I haven't listened to it much in the gap, the 47 years since it released, but I was really uplifted by listening to it today. The talent that's produced by the brilliance of Mercury cannot be stated any highly. He is a freak, an unbelievable talent. And the other three, of course, enabled him to strut the boards like a musical Shakespeare performer. It's an absolutely terrific piece of work, this second album. And probably neglected by many, but it's certainly one of my favourites, probably alongside the opera. So get to listen to it. If you never have heard this, get to listen to it. And if you have it and like it, remind yourself of how brilliant it is. That's my review. And finally, a bit of a shout out. I'm going to list some channels that I'd like you to subscribe to. Calcio Silva, James Griffiths, Richard McCook, fat vinyl. They'll all be down there anyway. I can't remember their names. But thanks a lot for listening.